few or many, we know that Jesus is in the building. He is here. He is here. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 6 in the King James Version. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They didn't kill everybody, they slew not any, either great or small, women and children, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burning with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess. Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed." Someone say distressed. Distressed, greatly distressed, "for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved." They were feeling some kind of way, a whole bunch of them. "Every man for his sons and for his daughters, because they were taken away. But here it is, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Again, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." From the subject today, put it on the screen. Chin up, chest out. And encourage yourself. Chin up, chest out, and encourage yourself. Thank you, my brother. Chin up, chest out, and encourage yourself. It is said that great leaders are born in the fires of adversity. Our dear beloved sister Lewis had to push a baby out. And a beautiful baby girl, miracle. But it wasn't without a little bit of tribulation and trial. I never heard a woman say that birthing a baby was easy, like a walk in the park. That's not the norm. And so sometimes you have to go through some things. So yes, leaders have to go through some stuff. They're born in the fires of adversity. And at times, this is true, because sometimes on the inside of those individuals, there's something that clicks when those people are cornered by their circumstances. I would also venture to say that great followers of Jesus Christ are also born in the crucible of life as well. Simply, these people are, as the young folk would say, built different. Because when the devil tries to bombard you with thoughts of nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, you are all alone, and it simply won't work, their spirit says, "Here I am, Lord, send me. I present my body as a living sacrifice." And if that's too deep for you, how about, devil, come on with it with your bad self. Let's get spiritual, spiritual. I want to get spiritual. Let's get spiritual. Let me see the body talk. The body talk. Olivia Newton-John wrote that. If you're wondering where in the world did I get that from, but you get it. But the truth is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. No. We wrestle not against folk that are annoying, aggravating, or downright hating on God's plan for your life, but powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. The good news is that we have an advocate in our corner. For every Mike Tyson, there was a Cus D'Amato in his corner. For every Floyd Mayweather Jr., there was a Floyd Mayweather Sr. in his corner. For every fighter over the expanse of time in the boxing world, there was a Teddy Atlas, or folk who specialize in helping those that are in the ring to win against their opponent. The key is understanding that while you should know that you are not alone, sometimes you do have to fight alone. Cus D'Amato was in Mike Tyson's corner, but Cus did not fight. He just gave him advice. He was rooting him on, but the battle was between Mike Tyson and some other people. And here's what we all know, at least as far as Mike, because that's the fighter that I'm most familiar with. For most of the time that he was going undefeated and was beating everybody up, it was because that one individual was in his corner that knew his weaknesses as well as his strengths. This same individual was like a father figure, get where I'm coming from, throughout his life. But then when that father figure was removed, that's when he lost his way. He still remembered a couple of things that he said, so he won even in his absence. But then when he started going through a lot of adversity within himself, when he painted himself into a corner, that's when things started going awry. It is moments like these when you must encourage yourself. No doubt that those that work out at the Cape were a little bit disappointed that they scrubbed things twice. A lot of work, a lot of effort. No doubt that the times when we have to keep our ministry running, despite the inconsistency, can be discouraging, no doubt. Or the daycare, no doubt. Our families, our lives, personally, no doubt. However, chin up, chest out, soldier of the Most High God. God is not through with you or what you are facing just yet. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7 through 10 in the New Living Translation gives us the next phase of what happened to David after he saw a whole bunch of things burn. The roof is on fire. They needed some water because they saw the city burning to the ground, children and women taken away in Ziklag. Imagine you being a leader, and you're ready to charge hell with a water pistol, and no one shows up on a Sunday morning. It's just you and you alone. Imagine that you have to fight against a whole bunch of bullies, and it's just you alone. Imagine, if you will, that the whispers from the streets are that you're going to lose. And all evidence points in that direction. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7 through 10, gives us a quick little example of what happened after David encouraged himself. In some translations, it says he strengthened himself. And verse 7 says, then he said to Abiathar the priest, bring me the ephod. You see it right there in the front of the church. So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, should I chase this band of raiders? Will I catch them? Should I pursue? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You shall will surely recover everything that was taken from you. So David and his 600 men set out, and they came to the brook Besor. But 200 men were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David continued to pursue with 400 men. Sometimes when you are fighting, some people don't want to fight no more. They've been fighting with you this long, 10 years in ministry, 12 years in ministry, 4 years in business, 3 years in business, 10 or 15 years with this child, or 18 with this child, 30 for some of us. We don't want to fight no more. We don't want to show up to the events anymore. We're tired of supporting, because it seems like we're not making any headway. But we don't need to focus on the 200 that stayed behind. We need to focus on the 400 that were bent on getting their stuff back, getting their families back, getting their lives back. Some of them were struck in grief. I can't go another further because everything was taken from me, my livelihood, my family, my job, my cars, my houses, my relationship. All of those things were taken away from me. I can't move any further. And now I'm so discouraged by what is going on. So there are going to be some times when you don't want to move forward. But let me be like Custom. Let me be like Floyd Mayweather Sr. Let me be the person that is in your corner that will push you right back into the middle of the ring, because you have all that you need in order to win the fight. The thing I love about boxing so much, and Brother Jose can attest to this, is that boxers have to be great listeners. If you're going to win, I don't know about you, but it seems like a lot of times, especially when it comes to sports, whether it's boxing, and definitely when it comes to football, and I know for sure in boxing, is that it seems like there's a whole bunch of talking going on throughout the entire match. Duck! Jab! Jab! To the left! To the right! He's going to get you. He's going to get you. Back up. Rope-a-dope. Do something, man. You're getting killed in there. And even sometimes you got to throw in the towel, because the fighter did not prepare properly. And we're going to have to go back and train some more. David, however, was determined, and this will help you this morning, to defeat discouragement. He was determined. Are you determined to defeat discouragement? Are you determined to defeat discouragement? Come on, y'all. Y'all need to put those phones away. That's not going to help you. Are you determined to defeat discouragement? Well, here's some truths for you that I want to share with you in my time remaining here. Number one, if you're trying to work that corner, work that enemy into a pinch, especially when you're feeling discouraged and defeated, there's a couple of things that I want to share with you. Number one, never forget how much God loves you. Do not forget how much God loves you. He loves you. He never said that just because you're going through some stuff and going through some things that you are his enemy and that he's mad at you. God is not mad at you. God is not turning his back on you. He's just in a fight. He's there to support you. Remember, people of God, the number one purpose in your life isn't to love God. It's to let God love you. Therefore, when you are discouraged, focus on that love. Sometimes we believe that God only loves us when he tells us, yes, you can have this. Yes, you can have that. Come on, Jay, look up here for me, son. Look up, son. Everybody need to focus on me. Sometimes we can't look at and be discouraged by what we see with our eyes. It's not what you can see. It's what you can't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So just because you don't see it manifest right now, that does not mean that God is not working on it. God is working on it, and he's working on your behalf. Some of the greatest people continue to move forward despite the lack of evidence. lack of evidence. Why should a lawyer continue to try a case and continue to press forward during a trial, even though that there is no evidence at that moment in time? But here's one thing that I know. Even in with an attorney that's inside of a courtroom, you know that they have a support system, because they're trying to get their client in an advantageous position. So you know what they do when they don't have the evidence that they need? They empower those that have investigative powers. They have private investigators that go in looking for the evidence. But most of the private investigators' work is not going on during the trial. It's usually after things have been concluded, quietly, behind the scenes. And then, I found something. Here is Exhibit A. Here is Exhibit B. Here is Exhibit C. Now God is trying to show you some things, and he's presented them for you, and that should encourage you, but you got to put your foot forward first. The next thing that you need to do when it comes to defeating discouragement is don't fake it. Be who God made you to be. Be who God made you to be. You may not start this season. You may not be the number one draft pick. You may not get a chance to speak in the assembly. You may not get a chance to be on TV or on the radio, what have you. But that does not mean that you will never. You have to continue to celebrate and press forward as if all of those things are within a hand's grasp. What I really appreciate about our praise team, about the people of God, is that y'all worship and praise God at the top of your lungs as if this entire complex, all 16 acres, was full of people. You practice how you play. No, you praise. Okay. You practice how you play. You praise so that the people will be encouraged across the room, online, wherever it may be. The reach is far. You must strengthen yourself. Chin up. Chest out. We're in a culture now where everybody has their head down. I saw one post that said that y'all look on the internet to make yourselves mad on a regular basis. What kind of psychological detrimental behavior is that? When you look at things that are so discouraging, sometimes it just pops up on you. But don't fake it. Nothing is more discouraging than trying to be something that you're not. This is so important for those of you that are always influenced by friends and coworkers and individuals that are around you. You're not trying to be what they want you to be. You're trying to be. You need to embrace all that God has called you to be. This is the reason why people in this era right now, and it's been going on for a long time, struggle with identity problems. If you don't know who you are, you're going to do whatever someone else tells you because you're getting some attention. We have to be mindful that we need to fill our cups up with whatever God is pouring out, not what people are pouring out. Because if they pour into you, they can take it out of you. But if God pours into you, then ain't nobody gonna take it out. If God blesses you, no one can take it away. Don't fake it. God does not bless fakes or phonies. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 in the New Living says, "We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this." You can't fake the funk, man. You are who you are. When you look in the mirror, you have to be satisfied with that specific image. And you should see less of yourself and more of Christ. Also remember, people of God, when you're trying to defeat discouragement, in times when you need to encourage yourself, remember, it's not about you. sometimes we forget our assignment. You ever gone through school sometimes and you said to your teacher, my dog ate my homework? I actually tried that one time, long time ago. We ain't even had no dog. Well, we did have a neighborhood dog named Gator, but he bit everybody, so that one don't count. The dog ate my homework. It didn't work out. But remember, people of God, it's not about you. You're more likely to be discouraged when you're self-focused, always looking inwardly, always self-reflecting. According to a recent study, our young people, and this is not, sometimes it's fashion, that's part A of that, as far as the hoodies, but other parts of that is that sometimes when the young people put on hoods, they are inward focus, tuning out, inward focus. When you spend so much time looking inwardly, you will become depressed. Because there's no light on the inside. The light is external to you. Jesus is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path. So we have to look to Jesus in order to find our way, not look within ourselves. There's darkness in there. It's not about you. It's about glorifying God through Jesus Christ in your life. He will get the glory out of your story if you don't write him out. You know how people like to write in presidents and write in different types of candidates? You don't even know where this person came from. You wrote them in. I remember there was one particular candidate that used to get wrote in all the time. I think it was the guy who was the Green candidate, Ralph Nader. Many, many years ago, Ralph Nader used to always be a write-in candidate. He was like, this dude ain't gonna never win. But he didn't care. He had something to say. He was the Green candidate for many, many years during the early 2000s and after that. He was written in. Don't write God out of the story. The mindset that you should have is as unto the Lord. I don't know why I'm doing this, God, at this job, but as unto the Lord. I don't know why I have to go through this, but unto the Lord. I don't know why I have to see my family members struggle because of certain decisions, but as unto the Lord. I don't feel the purpose behind this. Why do I have to do it this way? As unto the Lord. Also, people of God, as I move on, know your limits and relax in your limitations. Oh, let me help you a little bit. You can only do, here it is, you can only do so much. I know that I can only do so much when it comes to teaching and preaching to the people of God. There's only so much that I could do humanly possible. I can't make people be on fire for God. I can't make people come to church. I can only make a recommendation. I recommend that you do. I can only put a post, send the scripture, and then just be consistent and be all that God has called me to be. And hopefully somebody will catch on to the anointing. Hope that they will. You can only do so much. We are not invulnerable. I learned that from Super Pets. One of the Super Pets characters is one that's Kevin Hart. I don't know, Kevin Hart was kind of a big dog, but he had a little voice. And Kevin Hart, or one of the Super Pets, I think he was a boxer, and he originally was just very smart, was able to get outside of the cage, you know, very, very ingenious in that effort. And then one day, he got a superpower from a stone. If you didn't see the movie, well, that's too bad, because $3 was the movie rate on yesterday. You should have seen it. You can't say it's too expensive. $3 of yesterday. It's over with now. But in that specific effort, he was thinking about, man, is there any more to life than this? I'm stuck in this cage. Then he got a superpower, and that superpower made him invulnerable. It didn't make him powerful. It made him invulnerable. He didn't have the strength, but he couldn't be destroyed. Somebody get it. He didn't have the strength. He needed a team for that, but he could not be destroyed. And the power of invulnerability was bestowed unto him by something that was greater. So oftentimes when you're going through the fire, your weakness is your strength. I used to tell that to people oftentimes when they put it on their resume and the person who's interviewing says, okay, well, tell me some of your strengths. And you go list off all of your strengths. I'm very studious. I'm a person that works really hard. I have a great work ethic. I know how to communicate with individuals, all of these different types of things. And then the person goes on to say, well, tell me some of your weaknesses. And that used to catch me up in my younger days. I was like, well, my weakness is that sometimes I help people too much. Oh, in their eyes, you're gullible. Or I sometimes work too hard. You're stubborn. And you focus too much. And so then after I learned some wisdom about that, I said, you know what? What is something that I could stay and say? Well, my weaknesses are my strengths. I learn from them. Because in the culture that we're in, when you reveal your weaknesses, people capitalize upon that. But in the kingdom, your weakness is your strength. My power, God says, is made perfect in your weaknesses. Therefore, when you are weak, he is strong. When you can't do it, that is a perfect position. Some of us, when we are, you know, trying to move along in life, we do not like to be vulnerable. We want to be invulnerable. Some of us don't like being in a position of weakness where we can't go any further unless we ask somebody for help. And I've seen a lot of people that won't ask anybody for help, but they figure that is, you know, a badge of honor, but actually it's a form of pride. And pride always comes before the fall. You can only do so much. We are not invulnerable and will be affected by the battle, getting scars and all, but continue to do what you can with what you have. Even the hot boy Lil Wayne said in his verse, I pray more, I say less, and God did the rest. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to say that again. This will help you. This will help somebody. I pray more, I say less, and God did the rest. Now, this person don't even think about the kingdom at all, hardly, at least on the surface, but he said something that was so profound. I pray more, because there ain't nothing else I could do. I say less, because I done talked enough. And now we need to have faith and let God do the rest. And God, as Prophet Alexander says so many times as he's talked to us over the years, God is a specialist at waiting until the last minute. At the last minute. He's like a spotter over a weight bench. And right as your strength is getting ready to give out, that's when he comes in and helps lift you up. But if he feels like you got it, he's going to let you sweat a little bit. He will only step in with you when you're at the end of yourself and at the end of your rope. Do you know what that end is? Know your limits. Next up, use your pain to help others. You're going through a test, but that leads to a testimony. Once you have come through, and the dust has settled and the smoke is cleared, let people know how you made it over. I'm gonna put on my crown, tell the story how I made it over. Let somebody know what you've gone through and how you got past that time period. There was a time period when this church doors were about to close. We just donated a van from Sebastian, Florida, years and years ago. And we thought that we were going to pick up people from everywhere. Little did I know that was our rent payment on wheels. We sold the van for the exact amount that we needed. And I just put it on, what is it, Craigslist. And I was like, Lord, we ain't got no money. We ain't got no money. And I looked at the van. The van was in shambles. It was going to cost $30,000 just to get it fixed. The only thing that it did is that it ran. It didn't have no AC. You couldn't roll the windows down. But it was ours, and somebody gave it to us for free. And we put that thing right there in the front of the church with a for sale sign, and somebody from Cocoa Beach came and got it. And they said, we're going to make this a party van. Thank you so much. I was like, well, go right ahead. And I said, God, why did you give me something that I had to give away? God, why did you give me something that I have to give away? God, why did you give me a talent that I have to use for your glory? Oh, maybe that's the point. You give us things so that he can get the glory. And that story, as many times as I have told it, has encouraged somebody along the way. Use your pain to help others. You would be surprised how much suffering one can do and endure if they know the purpose behind it. If you're going through something, do you know why? Let me help you. Do you know why you're going through what you're going through? Or you get lost in the sauce? I don't understand this purposeless suffering. Oh, y'all looking up now. Let me come over here. Let me teach from the behind the church. Do you know why you're suffering and why you're going through what you're going through? Over and over again, the same repeat stuff. I don't know about you, but after a while, I would get tired of going through the fifth grade over and over again. I want to move again to the next grade. Repeat situations that are happening. Encourage yourself, people of God. Chin up, chest out. I remember Andre when he was little. You know, I got all these stories. When you become parents, you have stories too, if that's what the Lord's will is. I remember Andre when he was little. I always tell this story. He was making so much noise upstairs when he was little. And I was like, what is that? Boom, 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 boom. He had to be about 5 or 6 years old. And Jaden was just, he was still new out the box. So, you know, he's kind of new. So it wasn't him, but it was Andre. And I went upstairs. It's like, what in the world? And I was getting ready to chastise him. And I opened up the door, and he had his hands on his side with his diaper in his hand and said, today is a new day. I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. It wasn't six. It was younger than that. Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm close to 50, y'all. Y'all have to forgive me. Younger than that. Okay. He said today was a new day. And I was like mad and happy at the same time. Because at the time when he said that, he didn't know. He was just a little kid. But it was so encouraging to me. He was transparent before the Father. You know, this is how I think about things. He was transparent before the Father, and he was giving me a word. Today is a new day. To do what? Fight again. To battle again. Continue to move forward despite the circumstances that you're going through. You know what? Sometimes we're in our heads too much. You think too much. You're mulling over things just way too much. You know what? You know, some of y'all that you know, understand things from the country, like Jacksonville's kind of like a hybrid. We have like city, and then we have like the country too. Okay, ocean waves like the country. Real country, all right? But I understand the whole idea between what mastication is. Mastication is when a cow takes food and chews that cud and keeps on chewing it over and over. I'm like, there ain't no food left. Why you keep on chewing? And chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing. In other words, it tries to make it a little bit more digestible. I understand you trying to comprehend what's happening in your life right now, but you don't need to mull over it that much. You are too inwardly focused. And when you're too inwardly focused, let me help you, and you're not externally focused on the things of God, you will, mark my words, you will become depressed. With your talented, brilliant, blessed self, you'll focus on what's not going right as opposed to what is. Look at not what you don't have, but look at what you do have. Ain't nobody helping me. except for the person that's listening to you vent. So you do have somebody that's helping you. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, as I come around the mountain here, says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. It seems like I'm going through a lot of pressure right now to do good in school, to do good at my job, to be a good mother, to be a good father, to be a good son or daughter. My marriage, I want it to stay together. I want the joy that people see in our photos to be real online. I want to be genuine. I don't want to fake the phone. I want to be authentic. And when things are not going right, I want that to be known as well. We are pressed. And there is a lot of pressure out there. But you're not crushed. You're perplexed. It's so confusing when God tells you, no, this ain't it. And you try to move forward to see, let me help you with this. Let me help you with this. People of God, you need to understand that there's a difference between faith and pride. Faith is when God told you to move forward and he's given you the tools and he opens up doors for you to continue to press forward. Pride is when God told you no and you're still trying to move forward. Faith is moving with him. Pride is moving without him. You got that? It feels the same on the surface. Faith is moving with him and he told you to do it. Pride is you trying to move without him and he told you no. One of them is going to lead to blessings. The other one is going to lead to pain and stress and turmoil and depression, especially if you are called by God. God ain't going to let some of y'all do whatever the hand fat that you want to do. He's not. You're looking at your unsaved friends. You're looking at unsaved people inside of the church. You wonder why in the world they got everything all together. No. They don't have it all together. It's a monkey's paw blessing. They're being blessed by the devil. And yes, the cost is really high. The cost is really high. And you may not see the payment of the wages of sin that they're in until years later on. But God told you no early on. We may need to embrace some people's no. We need to embrace God's no. We need to embrace God's wait. There's nothing wrong with waiting for God to give you his blessing. He will add no sorrow to it. You know, one of the main signs, people always like to have signs. Signs are for the unbelievers. So if you're struggling in your faith right now, you know one of the main signs that lets you know that this ain't it? It's when there's obstacle after obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, big giant no's, and you're like, man, why in the world is this not happening as it should? Listen to God's no. Because when he opens up a door, no man can shut it. And when he shuts a door, no man can open it. Don't let your spirit get confused between pride and faith. One of them will be beneficial to you and God. The other one will be beneficial to your flesh and the devil. Amen, somebody. I need to call in for that one, too. You also need to take a praise break. Some of y'all are enjoying this weekend. I hope that you enjoy Monday, that you're able to let your hair down, let your head down, in my case. You need to take a break and understand that life has a rhythm. It does have a rhythm. It's like, it has a rhythm. It has a rhythm. It's a mic playing a drum. It has a rhythm. There's a pace. There's a beat. Your heart beats at a specific pace. And when it's time to speed up, your heart rate elevates. When it's time to slow down, your heart rate slows down. It's a pace. So, sometimes a break is necessary. You need to pace yourself to the heartbeat of God. Let me help you. Take the PTO, for God's sake. Take the PTO. You're not going to get a badge of honor by just working through with no vacations. I found out that people get promoted still when they take time off. If you go to the hospital because you had a stroke, that cobra going to set in, and they're going to let you go anyway. Somebody will see what I just said. Take the PTO. Extend the weekend getaway. Get in the presence of the Lord. And for heaven's sake, please, please, by all means, don't be wasteful to the point that you can't take a break because you are not a good steward over the finances the Lord gave you. I can't take no break, Pastor. I can't go nowhere. I want to go. I want to enjoy some things. I want to go to Wet n Wild. Oh, Wet n Wild's closed now. I want to go to H2O. I want to go to Disney World. Shoot, you could even go to Tampa with the dinosaurs that don't move. And still enjoy some time now if you're not wasteful. Half of our leisurely budgets are in our stomachs. Fast food is slowing you down from taking those days off because your budget is being allocated in places that are for temporary satisfaction and enjoyment. I'm better mind your business, Pastor Mike. All right, well, I'm going to put my Kermit suit on, and I'm going to watch you stress yourself out. Go ahead. Go off, then. Go off. Go off. The truth of the matter is that you will burn out unless you take a break. And when you do take a break, please, as I said before, as I close, give God the praise. Remember, it's a praise break, right? Give God some glory. Take some time out for yourselves. You can't work all the time. And when you do get time out, don't destroy yourself having fun. Make sure that you come back from the vacation too as well, right? Don't feed your flesh too much. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, that's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. And then finally, don't forget that eternity awaits. For those of you that are trying to defeat discouragement, chin up, chest down, look beyond the present, and focus on what's next. The here and now can be discouraging. Bishop McLaughlin taught me this many years ago. He says, don't live too far in your future. If you live too far in your future, then you're going to frustrate yourself and you're going to become depressed. God has given you a vision. And you're trying to live at the end of that vision right now. No, the vision is supposed to give you hope. But hope deferred, if not understood, will make the heart sick. So if you want the new house, the new car, the new boo, whatever it may be, those things are in the future, if it be the will of the Lord. But right now, you're single and you're ready to mingle. Right now, you're in the apartment. Celebrate it. Keep it clean. Right now, you may have the Buick. Have a flashback, y'all. Sorry. You may have a regular car. It was $300, and you got you a car. It could take you from point A to point B, but you want a $30,000 car. Don't worry. Them payments will wait on you in the future. So enjoy those $2 payments, $3 payments, $59 a month payments right now. Everything, somebody says everything has a cost. Take your time and wait on it. Sometimes waiting is God's way of getting you buffed up so that you can handle his blessing for your life. When you focus on God and all that he has planned for you in heaven, you won't be discouraged. The suffering won't last forever. 1 Samuel, and then I'm done. Chapter 30, verse 18 through 20 says, David, at the end of the story, got back everything the Amalekites had taken. And he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He also recovered all the flocks and all the herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock. This plunder, this stuff, belongs to David, they said. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Chin up, chest out. Chin up, chest out, and be encouraged. Yeah, yeah. I have to do this. I just felt that this is so necessary because some of y'all are dreading Tuesday, Wednesday. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You got to ride the wild donkey just a little while longer, right? You got to ride the wild donkey sometimes, but it's going to be all right. Do you believe that? Get out your head for a moment. My God. I see why some of y'all slip and get a drink during y'all off days. Water, that is. What are y'all talking about? If you do something else, just do it in moderation. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence and favor. We pray right now, Lord God, that you have sent a word of encouragement to these, your people. Bind the spirit of depression, discouragement, distress. Let them be able to continue to press forward despite what they see. Help them to know, Lord God, that it's not what they see, but what you have said. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. It's frustrating, it's aggravating, but step out on faith, and he will guide your steps. We believe you, Lord God, and we honor you. May our faith be fire, forged in the fires of adversity. May it increase. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, I hope and pray that the word was encouraging to you. And now we'll have our announcements. I'm going to go ahead and do it. You got it? I said, okay, I'll go ahead and do it this time. So we have just a couple of announcements, a small snack size announcements, if you will. So the first announcement I have, and it's not really on the list. So the men, we finally got through our draft on Friday night. Some of y'all were on autopilot and just letting the computer do the work for you. I ain't gonna call you out. I'll just wait until a couple other days for you to do that or whatnot. Some of y'all got woozy or what have you. But I was able to get a lot accomplished and done. But I do have aught against somebody because, we get ready to have communion. So I have aught against my son. Because my son looked at my draft board, and he picked my quarterback, Josh Allen. So I forgive you openly, Andre, the third. I'm still going to whoop you up anyway, because an old man knows about football longer than you've been alive. For the rest of y'all men, Mike, you picked Dak Prescott, didn't you? You didn't? So even you know that y'all ain't going to make it to the playoffs this year. Well, anyway, the men are going to have a fun time. Brother Ryan was on there. Your picks were taking a long time. Were you concentrating? Because Ryan, I was waiting for Ryan to go through his picks, and I was like, why is he taking so long? It's always going to 1 minute and 20 seconds. He kept on going down to the very last penny each time. Rick was picking fast, but he was picking all the Jaguars players, so I'm just going to let you know ahead. You ain't picking all the Jaguars? You picked 3 Jags. He picked one of my running backs and everything. So, Elder Winsley, there was a lot of dissension in the camp. And why in the world did you pick Lamar Jackson? You had yours on auto, too? You like him? Lord have mercy. You better hope he got that contract signed. You're going to get zeros for the first 3 weeks of the season. But anyway, we had a good time. I saw Jose back in the corner. He took... This man has took Saquon Barkley both seasons that we've been playing, and I had him right on my list, so I have aught against you as well. But I forgive you for taking my running back. And Boogie in the back, I forgot what your list was, but you're in the clear. So you're the only person who is faithful among everybody, all right? But we had a great time. The season starts. We will be having a couple of the games being shown after service on designated Sundays so that we can watch your team just go up in smoke and your picks go up in smoke, all right? So that was a wonderful and a blessed time for that. And also make sure that you invite people to church and do what you got to do as well, all right? Next announcement that I have is congratulations again to the Lewis family. Y'all got a picture? Y'all got a picture? You got a picture? Put that picture up. Put it up. Put it up. There you go. Look at the baby.
Aw.
Ain't that so sweet? I got a bun in the oven. It is outside now. All right. So this is Baby Miracle. Once again, congratulations to the Lewis family for welcoming Miracle Hope Lewis. You know what I want to say? I want to give her a nickname called Miracle Whip. So please continue to keep mommy, daddy, and baby in your prayers as they recover. So they're going to be out a couple of Sundays, y'all. Please don't inbox them, ask them to do nothing. Just say congratulations, all right? Just say congratulations. Hope you're doing well. Buy them some stuff. Buy stuff for the baby. You know we got to spoil them. I sure am as well. So make sure that you keep them in your prayers. And also, if you'd like to help in any way, please see Sister Kakara Johnson. Don't get no big old diapers. Talk about something. They're going to grow into it. Don't do that. Don't do that. You got diapers left over from your baby shower? No, don't do that. I know our people. I still have one of Jaden's diapers inside of my drawer at the house. So if he ever has an emergency, he could. It's going to be a tight fit. I have all his baby clothes and stuff like that. I'm stuck in the past, y'all. Also, this upcoming Wednesday, September the 7th at 7 o'clock p.m., we will be having our podcast. We're going to be talking about some things with sports related. And one of the big topics, you know I got to talk about this, Brother Rick, is that movie, Honk for Jesus. It's a great movie for church folk, but it's a terrible movie for kingdom folk. So we're going to talk about it. So you missed it right there. If you mess and you like Greenleaf, then you're going to love Honk for Jesus. But you know what? The post that I'm going to put on Facebook is, Honk for Jesus does not represent divine truth. The end. That's it. I can't relate to that. I don't know what that's all about. My spiritual father, he has a church the same size. Can't relate to that. They don't do that. So, hey, that's it. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And really, the subject will really center around what is authentic people of Christ as opposed to religious people. That's all that it's all about, right? Right. When you do things for God, it's boring to the world. You feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Oh, that's nice. And then they move on. But if you act like ratchet and crazy, people all over the place. The story is really patterned after Bishop Eddie Long and the stuff that was going on there. I'm giving you all the spoilers so you won't take your crazy self there and try to watch it. But if you do, it's about Bishop Eddie Long, the whole story. That's what it is. It's a classic things, hypocritical people in the church. So I bust that bubble for you. So don't waste your time with that if you're kingdom minded. But if you do go see it, you know, just understand that we don't want to be representative of things like that to the world. All right? There's two things that Hollywood likes to do. Hollywood likes to put forward the best or the worst foot inside of the church. Southern Baptists. And evangelicals or Catholics? Catholics are always inside of the horror movies with some nun with blood coming out of her ears. Always. That's the only thing that they understand. And there's some Baptist preacher that's beating people across the head with Bibles. Just those two. All right? That's what the world understands. But kingdom people know different. So we're going to talk about that as well as a couple of other things on September the 7th this upcoming week. And also September the 8th. We will have our praise and worship jam session. Once again, dance rehearsal also begins at 6:30 p.m. And then again, finally, Sunday, September the 18th, is going to be our Up Next Youth Ministry. We'll host Children's Church. You may sign your child up by scanning the QRC code that's out there inside of the hallway, inside of the bulletin board, if you need to do so. And we also have our tags ready as far as you know, putting name tags on kids, especially if you have kids that are, you know, not known by everybody. So again, just put your phone up to that and it'll download the app, and then you'll be able to check your kids in on September the 18th. And also, if you missed any announcements, make sure you sign up for our newsletter. And by all means, people of God, invite people to church. September is traditionally the month where attendance dips down because most people are trying to get back acclimated when it comes to school in different parts of the country. But eventually things will get back in order. So stay encouraged. I appreciate y'all continuing to press your way to the house of the Lord. All right? Continue to do so. All right? Go ahead and get a seat in your hand. And let's go ahead and give. I appreciate our giving has gotten better and better, but we want to stay consistent. You got to stay consistent. If you want God to be consistent with you, be consistent, all right? Giving is such an integral part of the ministry. Whether it's few or many, we want to be obedient to God in our giving. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord God, for the gifts that you receive. Let us move in obedience from the pulpit to the seats. Let us be obedient to your word. Let us be cheerful givers, Lord God, and consistent. Through all of the ups and downs of ministry, let us continue to serve our community as well as each other. Let us love and express ourselves through a time of giving. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. The ways to give. Ways to give are on the screen. You have four different ways to give. Do a light tap, Mike. You trying to get back at me for that Dak Prescott comment? Is that what it is? You did get CD Lamb though. That was a good idea, but he's not gonna work out because ain't nobody to throw to him. He said, "Dak, go get it to him." All right, all right. Well, thank you, people of God. Let's go ahead. And let's sing unto the Lord. Be blessed, people.
I'm not afraid.
Amen. I will trust in you. All right, everybody, stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. All right. I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. Well, it's 12:15. We are continuing our winning streak of ending service at the right time, which is whatever God says, right? Right. I'll just tease it with y'all. So again, be encouraged this week as you go through school, as you deal with coworkers, all of those different types of things. Stay encouraged. Don't always focus on what's not going right. Focus on what is. Don't become bitter. Be better. Be blessed, people of God. You take care and have a great week. Tune in to the podcast this week, y'all.